This morning I'd like to share with you a passage from the Old Testament. And in the book of Haggai, you know, one thing I love about reading the Bible is looking at incidents and looking at events of everyday people. Looking at the experiences that they had and the lessons that they learned. And you know, it's amazing, the human experience is so similar. Even when we're looking at people whose lives were thousands of years before ours. And when we look at how God spoke with these people and dealt with them and taught them lessons, we can really take something for our own life. Because quite often the lessons that people had to learn back then are the same lessons that we learn today, have to learn today, and lessons that we need today. I'd like to read with you just in chapter 1 of the book of Haggai. We might read from verse 1. And just a little bit of background. And if the people of Israel had come out of captivity and God had given them the task of rebuilding his temple, which had been destroyed. And the people, for various reasons, had lost interest. So Haggai has come to them with a message from the Lord. In verse 1, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your panelled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood, and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it, and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. So like I said earlier, the people of Israel had been in captivity, and now they had returned to Jerusalem, returned to their homeland, and God had given them the task of rebuilding the temple that had been destroyed. And when we look through a few other books in the Old Testament, like Ezra, we can see that the people got off to a pretty good start. And they rebuilt the tabernacle and built a foundation. But then they came across a few obstacles. They had a little bit of opposition and a bit of ridicule. And they gave in to that opposition and they stopped the work on the temple. And then some time passed and there was no longer the opposition there, but by this time the people had lost interest in building the temple, and the temple still lay there unfinished. And the people started to put all their time and all their effort into building nice homes for themselves, meanwhile neglecting the task that God had given them. And because of God's work was being neglected, the people weren't being blessed. God was withholding blessing from them. And they were having a few problems with their crops and having a few problems with trade. So they were in financial difficulties. But the small amount of money that they were able to scrape together, they poured all of that into their own homes and making them, their own homes nice for themselves. And you know, quite often when we read through incidents like this, we look at the people of Israel and think, what miserable people they are. How disobedient they are. You know, when we're honest with ourselves, we have to realise that in many ways we're just like them. And I know for myself, particularly at the moment, I can really relate to these people of Israel we've read about here in Haggai. I'm getting married in about 5 weeks. And about a month or so ago, we bought a house, our first home. And I'm sure that are many of you here this morning who've been through that experience of getting your first home. And you'll agree with me when I say that it's a very exciting time. You know, I found as well, our house that we've got is an older home and it needs a bit of tidying up and a bit of renovating. And it really is exciting to make plans for doing your house up and making your house nice and having nice furnishings and nice decorating. And you know, I found the whole thing with our new house really consuming. And I was so excited about it. And it just took up so much time, so much energy and so much effort researching how we could renovate, looking at different types of furniture. And you go into these big furniture stores with so acres and acres of nice things that you could have in your home. And you walk through and you see all these different things. And you think, oh gee, that'd be great. I'd love to have that. And you start working out a financial plan, working out a budget of how we can afford to have all these nice things in our home. You know, I really found that quite consuming. And steadily but surely, without really knowing, as I was putting more and more effort and more time and more thinking into our new home, I was putting less and less time into serving God and less energy into the activities of the assembly, less and less effort in studying my Bible and less effort in praying. And you know, when I realised what was happening, I had to be honest with myself and ask myself the question, what's the number one priority in my life at the moment? And you know, I had to be honest and say, my house is my number one priority. And that I'd made serving God a much lesser priority. I'd put it on the back foot. So I, just like these people here in Haggai, had neglected the work that God had given me to do. And I had become more preoccupied with my own ambitions, my own goals, my own interests. And you know, as Christians today, God has given us a work to do. We're told to be a witness in this dark world and to shine forth for Christ to the people around us. We're told that in the local church to use the gifts that God's given us to build up our local churches and to encourage each other. So as Christians today, we have a work that God has given us to do. And you know, it's so easy for us to become consumed with our own ambitions, just like these people here this morning. And you know, it doesn't have to be a new home. It can be a career, striving to get a promotion or get a certain position in our work. It can be education or sport or some hobby or some interest that we strive for and strive for achievement. And whenever we put high priority on our own ambitions and our own interests and own goals, then the work that God has given us will suffer and will go neglected. And you know, this message here that God brings these people was a message for me, because this was what I needed to hear. God said to the people, consider your ways, think of how you're living, and turn away from your own ambitions and your own desires, and rather concentrate on the work I've given you. Focus on the work that you have serving me. And that was the message that I needed to hear. And that's the message we all need to hear today. Because in our society that we live in, it's a very affluent and very materialistic type of society. And it's very easy for us to conform to the pressure society puts on us to be ambitious, to be successful, and to be materialistic. But when we do that, the work of the Lord will suffer. And we read also in verse 6 and in this first chapter how the people weren't receiving much blessing because the work of the Lord had been neglected. And today we can't expect God to bless our assemblies. We can't expect God to bless the activities that we are doing if our main energy and our main priority are our own ambitions, our work or our home and those sort of things. We can't expect God to turn around and bless us if His work isn't our main priority and we're leaving His work neglected. But you know, when Haggai came to these people with the message from the Lord, it must have been quite powerful because it really stirred them up. Read with me from verse 12 in chapter 1. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. So the people were convicted by this message that had come from God. And they turned and they started to put all their enthusiasm and all their energy into resuming the work that God had given them, building the temple. You know, when we read further through this book, within 1 month of time, the work on the temple had come almost to a halt again. And one of the reasons for this was, we read about in chapter 2, was the people were discouraged. This new temple that they were building was being compared to the former temple that Solomon had built. And you know, there would have been some older people among these Israelites who as children would have seen Solomon's temple. And they would have been able to tell them of just how magnificent it was, of the gold and the precious stones and of the beautiful materials it was made from, and how splendid and how magnificent it was. And in comparison, this new temple they were building was much smaller and much plainer and much more drab. And with these comparisons being made, these children of Israel were disheartened. They were discouraged. And once again, they lost their enthusiasm. And they lost their drive and their zeal for serving God and rebuilding the temple. And you know, once again, I can really relate to these people because I know how easy it is to be full of energy for something, full of big ideas and full of vision, and then to be easily discouraged by some little obstacle. And it's a very human thing to do, to focus on these little discouragements and to lose sight of the Lord. And I remember one time, about a year or so ago, I went to this thing at a new church, this special service they put on. It was a brand new assembly that had just been built. And after the service, there was a man there that I knew, and he took me for a guided tour around this brand new assembly. And it was a beautiful, big church. It was really big. And inside it had big, high ceilings. And up the front of the church there was a stage. And they had all sorts of modern lighting and modern sound equipment. And with this they were able to do theatrical performances. And they had every type of musical instruments. And they're all lots of musically talented people. And they're able to do all sorts of musical productions. And also this church had adjoining rooms, big rooms, spacious rooms that they could use for all their kids' clubs and Sunday schools. And it had a big kitchen with a big proper servery that they're able to use for different things. And out the back it had offices with all sorts of gadgets, a fax machine and computers and all sorts of resources. You know, it was really impressive. And this man was telling me about all this great stuff they had and how they were able to do so much and how they could use these things in activities serving the Lord. And it was really impressive. You know, I come away from there, I'm thinking, wow, that's really great. They've got all this great stuff and they're able to do so much with it. You know, then I started to think about the assembly I go to at Toowong and thinking, well, we don't have any of this type of stuff. We've only got a simple little church with nothing modern about it. It's just only very small. And I started thinking, well, how are we meant to be effective if we don't have this stuff? How are we meant to really make an impact? How are we meant to really reach out into the community? We're too old-fashioned. We're living in the past. How are we meant to do anything? You know, just from that simple comparison, that really discouraged me, and that was really disheartening for me. But you know, God doesn't need a fax machine, and God doesn't need a huge congregation. And you know, I had lost sight of God. Instead of just trusting in God and believing in God's power, that God could use our little assembly at Toowong, even though we don't have all these modern bits and pieces. But instead I thought very humanistically and just was worried about not having all these different bits and pieces. Yeah, so I can really relate to these children of Israel losing their enthusiasm over a bit of encouragement. But you know, it's wonderful how God encourages them. Have a look in verse 9 of chapter 2. God says to them, when they've been giving this discouragement, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. So God was telling them that even though outwardly, and even though physically, this new temple doesn't match with Solomon's, and it might not be as splendid to look at, in its glory, it's going to be much greater. Because this was a temple that Jesus himself would come to and study in. You know, it's great to know that God doesn't compare us to other people. And when God judges us, he judges us only in regards to our own resources and our own opportunities. And it's great to know that my assembly at Toowong doesn't get judged compared to that new assembly I was talking about. And that God judges us purely to our own resources and to our own opportunities. And you know, further down the chapter again, once the people had really become recommitted to serving the Lord, we read, I think it is in verse 19, that God does, instead of withholding his blessing, he is going to bless them. And he says in verse 19, "Is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit, but from this day I will bless you." And you know, sometimes when we really give everything to serve the Lord and give all our energy and all our spare time into that, we may miss out on a promotion at work. You might miss out on some achievement in sport. You might miss out on straight distinctions at your university. And in a way, from a worldly point of view, you might not succeed as much. But the blessing that comes from God from serving him are much greater than any gain we can get from the earthly point of view. And the blessing that we can get from God will last forever. You know, really, something I'm really ashamed about with myself is being so easily distracted from the work that God's given me. And when I think of just how much motivation I have to serve God, it really is a shame to me. And a bit later on this morning, we're going to be remembering the Lord Jesus and thinking of how he died for us. The Son of God, who was equal with God in every way, was a person who was willing to surrender his life and be tortured for our sake, so that we might have eternal life and so that we might have real peace and real joy in our life. And when we think of that, what motivation we have for serving God with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength. And what drive we should have for serving God. And yet despite that great act of kindness being done for us, we still find it so easy to get caught up in our own little goals and our own little ambitions. And you know, this book of Haggai is just a short book, but it was certainly something that's been of great encouragement to me and a great reminder to me of my own condition. And I certainly hope this morning that you too have been encouraged by some of the words in this book.